In this episode of Movie Rollers, we're going to review the much anticipated movie Man of Steel. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, the show is for you. Greetings all.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm so excited.
You're excited. I'm the superhero comic book Christopher Nolan loving fan here. This movie's been... I've been bursting to talk about this one.
I know. That's why I'm excited.
So, yeah, we are here today to talk about the movie Superman.
And Man of Steel.
Man of Steel.
Well, yeah, gosh, that's a really terrible gaffe there, because they don't mention Superman in the trailer at all. They were very careful in all of the marketing, I think, to avoid the use of the word Superman. I think that's not an unwise decision to try and put some distance between previous iterations of the franchise and this one. But, yeah, this movie has been some time in the making. It's directed by Zack Snyder, who we know very well from... my two movies that I really liked a lot, 300 and also Watchmen. It's produced and...
co-written.
And co-written, indeed, by Christopher Nolan, who, as you know, is a huge hero of mine. So this
You're
movie...
You're about to burst.
Well, no, this movie was... I had a lot of anticipation. And I always get nervous when I get that excited about a movie, because it's almost always a disappointment when you kind of build yourself up to it. I did something that I haven't done since last year's Dark Knight, which was I watched this trailer multiple times. Now, that's interesting when a trailer can get your interest at least as much as... and Yazdi, I think you said recently you don't like to watch trailers, but I was grabbed by this one.
How many times did you watch it? Come on, reveal. Honestly, how many times did
Confession
you watch
time.
It?
Confession time.
Yeah.
I would say it was at least half a dozen times. So, yeah, there was a lot of anticipation going. Yeah, well, there's actually multiple trailers, but the final trailer that they released with the Hans Zimmer score definitely got my gooses bumping, if you want to put it that way.
Wow.
Gosh.
The movie stars Henry Cavill as Superman, Amy Adams as Lois Lane, Michael Shannon as General Zod, and Diane Lane as Martha Kent. We also have Russell Crowe in there. He plays Jor-El. And it's... essentially a reboot of the Superman franchise. I don't like to use the term reboot in this particular context. I think they go back to the source material and give it their own spin. And I think the movie has a slightly different take on what we've seen on the Superman genre. But I was a huge fan of Richard Donner's Superman. I've bought the Blu-rays very recently for Superman 1. And interestingly, Leo, there's a Superman 2 Richard Donner cut. Because Richard Donner actually got fired from making Superman 2 by Warners at the time. He had a big dispute with the studio. And they got somebody else. They filmed a lot of Superman 1 and 2 back to back. But ultimately, thanks to a number of disputes, Richard Donner got kicked off the project after Superman 1, even though the movie was a resounding success, and somebody else finished it off. So a few years ago, a few people got together and got some money together and got Richard Donner to put together a lot of his originally shot footage for Superman 2, and they released the Richard Donner cut. It's a slight rearrangement of the story, and it includes a couple of essentially audition reels for the actors. You know, they were kind of practice runs, so some of it's a little amateurish in that, you know, it was never meant to make it into the final cut of the movie. But that was the vision of the story. So I was a big fan of those, and they were great movies.
That was the longest introduction to any film we've ever done.
Hey, we're only 4 minutes into the podcast. It was not so bad. But yes, as you can tell, I'm really excited to talk about this.
Okay, so good that you get to go
I'm
last.
I'm going to let one of you talk first, and then you'll get my 2 cents, or $4 if you
Yes, do you want to go or me?
Sure, I'll go. So I'm just
don't want to... bust the balloon. I'm kind of worried.
I'm just going to say it. I think this movie is a well-intentioned failure.
Hold on a second. That was me slapping Yazdi.
I think it's the equivalent of watching your little nephew mess up on his exam or botch up his recital. I mean, you know the little guy means well, and you know he's capable of so much better, and you know he missed a great opportunity. So for me, it was mostly a disappointment But I hope they do better next time. I think this is a very well-intentioned movie. It's very accomplished at multiple levels, but ultimately for me, it didn't work. Rashmi?
Ooh, what an opening sequence with all that Hans Zimmer music. This is one of those films which I really enjoyed in the moment, but the more I think about it, the more it fades. And the more I think, why? Why fix it if it ain't broke? And you couldn't improve on the original. That's not to say that you won't have a good time watching it. Just know this isn't more than the 80s classic. But I love that people watch this literally in silence. I'm with you, Yazdi.
I'm going to set the cats on both of you. No, I mean, I have to acknowledge there's a complete objectivity failure here on my part. I was very excited by this movie. And it really was everything that I hoped it would be. I was very nervous about Man of Steel. You know, Superman's a very beloved franchise, and I think you have to handle it carefully in order to give it the respect it needs, but also bring something new to modern audiences. And I think they did a very effective job of that. There are some niggles I have with the movie. It's not perfect in many ways, and I think there's an element of joy that's missing from, the flight sequences.
The whole movie.
The whole movie.
But I do like the serious take on comic books, and I think that's where we have a fundamental disagreement. I mean, my personal feeling about comic books is that they can be very adult in nature, and by that I mean very serious and have dark themes. This movie isn't especially dark, other than, you know, this aesthetic that they've put with these very muted colours, and, you know, so I think they've deliberately taken an artistic decision here, but that decision works for me as a fan of, you know, the Dark Knight Christopher Nolan take on superheroes. And I've got plenty more to say, but I'll let somebody else.
Okay, I think you said it. I mean, I put here lacked lightness and humor and heart. I mean, I think Henry Cavill himself was a great Superman. Okay, so I give him props. Great casting choice. He really, I think, did a good job of being Superman, being Man of Steel. And I think he had heart, but the rest of the film didn't have it. But the one thing that killed it, and it's the one thing that really, really killed this for me, Lois Lane. She ruined the film for me. This version of Amy Adams playing Lois Lane killed it. Now, I thought the whole point...
God, you've like gotten into my head. This is exactly my notes. Amy Adams is so wrong for this movie.
Yeah.
So completely wrong. But carry on. I have a major thing about this. A major thing. Yeah. She's completely wrong for this movie.
That just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, it's one, Amy Adams playing Lois Lane, and we can go back to that. But the other thing was, isn't the whole point of Superman that no one knows who he is, especially Lois Lane? So that completely ruined it. Completely. Okay, so let's debate Amy Adams. You think she was Lois?
I think the role was underwritten here. I think the Lois Lane role that we know, the Margot Kidder version, was a very strong Lois. And I think the Lois Lane that we got here initially started out as a very bold Lois Lane. But by the end of the movie, she was kind of content being, you know, rescued by Superman. And so I don't think there was much meat of her. This movie wasn't about anyone other than, and it's different from the other Superman movies because, you know, the Richard Donner version was very much the Clark Kent kind of Superman story. This was the Kal-El story. This was the lost kid from Krypton story. And so I think the movie's focus on that particular story element was at the detriment of everything else in the Superman universe that we've come to know.
I just think it was a really bad choice to pick her as an actor, as underwritten as that role might be. I mean, I think, you know...
Who would you have cast then?
Emma Stone, anybody. You know, somebody younger, spunkier. The whole point of Lois Lane is she goes head-to-head with Superman. Maybe I'm too influenced by the Richard Donner version. She goes, you know, she just seems bored and tired. Amy Adams looks and sounds tired. She sounds like she'd rather be in some other movie. I mean, I was so disappointed with her. And I don't want to sound, you know, ageist. You know, I really wish they had picked somebody younger, somebody more youthful, somebody with a little bit more pizzazz. She just seemed like a suit which walked around Superman and occasionally said something.
I think for me it was that we missed... The whole point of Lois Lane is that she's fearless and she's feisty and she gets the stories. And here it felt like she didn't really have much to do.
That's my point, though. I mean, I think this movie was not necessarily going to be about the Lois Clark dynamic, right? And if we can just talk about the fact that this is the Kal-El story. This is the kid who was sent from Krypton and discovering who he is. There's all these themes of, faith and belief in yourself and acceptance and being an outsider and the whole idea that this guy who knows he's from somewhere else is trying to struggle to understand who he is, what his purpose is.
Right.
And that's the central theme of this movie, which is different to the original Superman.
But I don't think it does a particularly good job with that either.
I think it did a terrific job.
No, so I think this is why I believe Zack Snyder is the wrong person to be directing any of the Superman movies. I mean, we've had like, I don't know how many, 4 or 5 of the original one from the 80s. There was a whole television series called Smallville, which I think did a much better job. So, you know, Zack Snyder's strength is, and you know, he's a great filmmaker, but he's a visual filmmaker. I mean, he can make the screen pop with his comic book playful aesthetic, but he has never demonstrated any aptitude for emotional heft. And this movie needs emotional heft. I couldn't care less when Kevin Costner died. I couldn't care less about the relationship between Superman and his mom was so underdeveloped. I mean, there is no main relationship. Russell Crowe, his original father, shows up as some kind of apparition, and I couldn't care about that. The movie completely lacked emotional heft. See, Superman...
You just didn't connect with it.
I did not connect with it because it just seemed... The whole Superman is such an iconic story. Everybody knows this story, and it seemed like... I don't know. I didn't.
But that's why you need a new spin on it, right?
I don't think this is a new spin.
To see the same movie again. Okay. And this was a really inventive way to retell that story.
Agreed. But it's only going to appeal to the serious fanboys, I think. Then you're going to lose everyone
else.
That
may well be true.
So I think to build on what Yazdi's saying, for me, okay, even if you say this is the Kal-El story, then we didn't see, other than strength, any other aspect of Superman. Or his abilities in that kind of growing up and understanding who he is. The whole point was, it wasn't just his strength. It was all of those other abilities that make him different to everyone else.
But it was more than just strength. I mean, what are you talking about? The laser eyes, the flying, we don't need to see those as in the childhood context. I mean, there's a great depiction of, you know, the kid as he's starting to develop these powers of, you know, what it must feel like to have super sound and vision, right? All the noise, all of the kind of static that must be in your world until you can learn to filter it out and focus. That, to me, was a really interesting take on what it would be like to be a super being on this planet. You know, so I think they captured that, but I think really what they were trying to get the core at here was, you know, he was struggling with his purpose. You know, he has all these amazing abilities, but his father's basically saying, if you reveal who you are to other people, you won't be accepted. And I think that's a story that I connected with really well. I mean, not necessarily on a personal level.
Are you a superhero?
I guess also on a personal level, but I think that theme was very well done. And that was what they were going for. I think that was the core of what they were trying to tell here.
Yeah, but it should not be something mildly glowing. It should be like burning. That whole feeling should be burning. Mildly glowed for me. So I connected with that theme. You know, if you are in any ways different, okay,
right,
how do you deal with that? You know, should you be proud of your powers as different they are from the rest of the world, or should you hide it?
Right.
But I think if that was the central theme of the movie, they should have hit a home run with it. It was a small part of the movie.
I agree. The other thing that really upset me about this movie was there was just way too much fighting.
Yeah.
There was too much action.
I got a headache. The last half hour, I got a headache.
Right. And then that combined with really bad CG was just unbearable to watch. And then out on another layer of 3D, which was horrible.
The CG wasn't bad, but I know what you mean. The CG
was
very comic book.
It was very comic.
It seemed fake. Every one of Superman's moves felt fake because it was too fast.
And then that whole, like, basically these days you have to destroy an entire country. There has to be so much destruction that we see whole countries, you know, obliterated. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I
think
horrible to watch.
One of the notes I wrote down was there was too much jumpy Hulk stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that was again, I think it's trying to make this exciting in a modern context, and I think now that we have the ability to show, you know, what would happen if two indestructible beings had a fight on Earth, right? Two indestructible beings who can, you know, move at the speed of light and have laser beam. Like, what kind of shit would happen?
According to Zack Snyder, you would just destroy all of New York systematically. Yeah. That's not clever. It's just things blowing up.
Yeah, that was a little too Michael Bay for me. I'll give you.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. And then what did you think about...
Sorry, Joe, we're ganging up against you.
Yeah, well, no, it was also... I mean, we complained about this during the Iron Man 3 review, and for me, this was even worse than that last scene in Iron Man 3.
That last half hour is non-stop action. It's a good 30 minutes. It's non-stop action. Things blowing up for 30 minutes.
What did you guys think of the 3D?
Neither here nor there. I mean, I think it was very good on Krypton, and I really like... I mean, Zack Snyder is he's a visual director, and that whole Krypton aesthetic is gorgeous. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. It was original. It was...
Absolutely.
The technology was amazing. I like that.
I mean, we've talked about... Anybody who's listened to our podcast know that we have a thing about production design. This is... Beautiful production design. Yeah. I mean, that the spaceship, that whole world, you know.
Oh, there's like flying robots.
Flying robots.
So cool.
It was beautiful.
It was futuristic with this kind of, you know, liquid metal type stuff going on, but it had this grain to it, and it was so not gimmicky. Like, it was a really well-realized alternate world that was very different from work.
Yes.
So I think that was beautifully done.
Yes. But the 3D was horrible. I don't know about you. I kept taking my glasses off because it was so dark.
I think in part it was calibration because the brightness wasn't... didn't feel like it was right. Yeah, but we saw it at arc light, right? So I think that was as good as we can probably get.
I know, but I almost felt claustrophobic in this one. Like, darkness was so bad.
Do you realize that this was a post... 3D conversion film. Zack Snyder, he's another director who feels like Christopher Nolan, that you don't need to have 3D to enhance a movie. But there's obviously so much pressure coming from the studios because of the extra $5 a ticket that this movie was done post-production into 3D. And that's a shame because I don't think it added...
Right, so go see this in 2D. Do not waste your money with 3D.
A much brighter film.
I agree.
And you can tell a good test of it is because when I removed my 3D glasses, I could see most of the scenes, especially the close-ups, didn't make a shred of difference. It was just brighter and nicer. So I had my glasses on for extended periods of time. And again, to give credit where it's due, and I do it at the risk of repeating what you already said, but I really think that Henry Cavill makes a great Man of Steel. Yeah. So I know he's worked with this director before on Immortals. Was Zack Snyder? I don't know. But
Henry, no, I don't think Immortals was Zack Snyder.
Okay. But, you know, he's unaffected, he's sincere, and he's dashing. And I think those are all the things you want. Like, Christopher Reeve had that nice combination. And I think they made a really good choice with him. And definitely his suit, Chris Supers, is a definite upgrade.
Yes, you and I have mind-melded today.
That suit
is very good. That suit, although we had to wait a long time to see it, but when we did see it, it was worth waiting for, and it was really nicely modernized.
And again, the visuals,
yes,
with the way the cape, it's a dark red cape, it's not this fire engine red, you know, the visuals, it looks beautiful.
You know what I liked?
What?
I really liked his boots.
I didn't notice that.
He had really cool wedge boots.
What's a wedge boot?
You know, where you can't see, like, there's no heel separation.
Oh, okay.
It's like one level, you know, really nice boots. I was thinking, how do I get me some boots like that? Really smart.
Wait till Halloween, they'll be in the costume shop.
Yeah.
What really about Michael nice Shannon? Boots.
My notes, I thought I would never...
I will find him!
I thought I would never see the day when I would say that Michael Shannon is not effective as an actor, but I think he's met this. I mean,
Shut the front door. Yes.
What is he doing?
You know what I was going to say? I think he forgot that he wasn't in Iceman anymore. I think he kept his Iceman character.
What
is wrong with you people?
He felt like a kitty cat. I was never scared for him for a minute.
I know, he was like, ha, 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 I'll get you, Penelope Pitstop. That's how scary he was.
He seems so benign.
Villain here. I wasn't afraid of him, but I loved how driven this character was, and I loved his singularity of purpose. And I love that, even towards the end of the movie where he was clearly defeated, he wouldn't let go of this principle that drove him. And I think a lot of the great, you know, one of the good things about the best villains is that they don't change. You know, the character, the hero goes through a journey, but the villain is single-minded and brutal. And I just thought he was so uncompromising in this. I loved his performance, and I loved how, I loved Shannon in this. I mean, I like Shannon anyway.
I love Shannon in every movie until this. I found his line readings weird.
Yeah, I mean, did too.
It was like, what was he doing? Even the way he was saying his dialogue.
It was weird. It was like weird. He wasn't acting to me.
Yeah, he was a military guy from Krypton. And this is one of the things that, you know, again, one of the things that I thought was super cool about this movie was the whole reinvention of Krypton. Like, we haven't seen a Krypton depicted in this way where you've got the whole backstory about the planet. I don't want to go into it with spoilers, etc. But there is a way that this planet has been constructed that has led to its demise. It doesn't get especially preachy, but there is kind of an environmental message in there. But there's something going on in this planet that's a little matrixy, that's a little weird, that we've never seen before in the Superman myth. And to me, it explained a lot of the behaviors, you know, because Shannon's character was essentially not born. He was made. And so, you know, when you think about that, that to me explains all actually, the weirdness. But, you know.
So you think when they're created, they don't really give them personality? Or the ability to read lines effectively, maybe. Okay, we'll let you off on that one.
It has to be a deliberate choice because he's too fine an actor to just, you know, just do it this way.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Absolutely.
And then my other big pet peeve, I mean, they have some really good actors here. Mm-hmm. But my real pet peeve is, you know, who in Hollywood thought to have the lovely Diane Lane covered in white hair?
Oh, my God.
And playing like frumpy mom to Superman.
Yazdi. You know,
boo.
Yazdi, I have written down here. Things that pissed me off. Diane Lane's awful wig.
Like, she's
her
a beautiful...
Her name is Martha Kent.
But she's, you know, this is a beautiful actor. And I understand actors, you know, Anne Hathaway does not have to be beautiful in every movie.
She lives in Kansas.
I know,
but she doesn't have to have hair made of straw.
Her hair looked really bad.
It was really bad. If Yazdi noticed his hair... If Yazdi noticed Diane Lane's
they
hair...
They have tornadoes there, which mess up your hair.
But, again, I used to watch Smallville a lot. And the relationship between, you know, what's Clark Kent and his mom is so deep and emotional.
Yeah, no, and I've this never movie, seen there was Smallville. Nothing.
And this movie had, anyway, like, there are four scenes.
Yeah, I've never seen Smallville. Yeah. So I think that might be where my point of reference is off.
But I think, you know, Kevin Costner was very good in this. I think Kevin Costner did a really good job. Bring back Kevin Costner.
Yes.
Really good. And I think... You know what? After watching Les Miserables, I thought Russell Crowe redeemed himself a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked Russell Crowe.
I think Russell Crowe was... And he carried a lot of
Jor-El
the movie,
was,
I think.
Again, a very good
Jor-El, yeah.
Here.
I liked his wife. I've never seen that actor before, but who played Superman's biological mom. She was good.
I think we're spent. Yeah.
No, don't apologize. You're just wrong.
Are you ready to wind this one up, or have you got more things to try and convince us?
I could actually talk about this for hours. I haven't written a review. I haven't written this many notes for a review since perhaps Dark Knight. But I don't think there's anything to say. You know, I did like Hans Zimmer's score. I'm a huge fan of Hans Zimmer's score. I think
good score, yes.
I loved how different it was from John Williams' score that is so famous for Superman. And it was a risk, I think, to do something thematically different. But again, I think he did a great job here. So it all came together very nicely for me.
I'll give you one more redemption. I don't normally notice this, but I wrote down great editing. For some reason, I noticed the editing.
Okay, yeah. It wasn't something that jumped out at me, but I think it was a very competently made movie.
Yeah, it's very accomplished. Technically, it's very... I did find the CGI too comic book.
Yeah.
You know, like... Superman's movement, once he starts to learn how to fly, seemed like a video game to me. It seemed like it had that uncanny feel to it.
Yeah.
And those jet streams. What were the jet streams?
Flying is a very difficult thing to depict, because if you go back to the 1978 Donner version, it's so horribly green screen. I mean, it looks really bad.
Right, but we know there aren't flying people. Okay, so as an audience, we know there aren't flying people, and so we're accepting of someone.
You can either go against a green screen and, you know, do like lots of close-ups, and that's what Richard Donner did, and therefore you get this lovely joy of flying. Or you can do the kind of you know, Superman is a jet fighter type thing, which I think Zack Snyder did in this one, particularly with the sonic booms.
Yeah, that was the word.
I didn't like that particularly. I mean, I think that was a really odd choice because, you know, it turned him into a plane and Superman isn't a plane.
The whole point is it a plane?
Is it a bird?
Is it a plane? Right. Yeah. Okay, let's wind this one up.
You were going to say
something. Oh, were you?
No, I think in general his movement. So, you know, there's, you know, we talked about it. The last half hour is of him and the bad guy.
Yeah.
What's his name? General Zod.
Yes.
Are fighting. But every time they collided, they moved away so fast. Like they were impacting each other so fast. It almost, it kind of deceived the laws of physics to me. It just seemed
strange. Uncanny Valley.
It seemed, it seemed kind of jarring. But anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, you know, the whole flying fighting was all very explosive banging type stuff, and it didn't necessarily work well. I mean, I think I would have liked to have seen that done a little differently, but I was enjoying those battles, which was strange in that, you know, I think they were very well choreographed. You may not agree with that, but they seemed, to my mind at least, a lot more intelligent than some of the battles that we see in, you know, Michael Bay type stuff, but...
Okay, I think we need some listener validation
I'm
of opinions.
And, you know, I probably shouldn't even rate this movie because I'm not objective.
Yeah.
I mean, Iron Man did it. Most recently, Avengers did it. You know, now again, Man of Steel is doing it. I do not want to see another superhero movie where they destroy New York well and good. This movie just keeps destroying, like, one building after the other.
Right.
You know, I'm sick of it. Find Chicago. Find San Diego. Destroy some other city, please. You know, and New York's been done to death now.
It's Metropolis.
Right, it is Metropolis, yeah.
Metropolis. Then.
Okay, let's wind this one up. So... Yazdi, we'll let you go, then I'll go, and then Joe can wind this one up.
Sure. I mean, there is a lot to love about this movie. There really is. This is a very accomplished movie, and visually it's absolutely a wonder. But unfortunately for me, the thing which tipped the scale for me is that, and maybe it's as simple as I mentioned, that I'm too influenced by the Richard Donner version, but I think of Superman and see him as... And see his journey and his story as fun and rousing. But I found this adaptation dour and serious, and I had a big problem with that. It seemed joyless to me, and I think that's my single biggest complaint about the movie. But, and you know, there's, you know, again, we already talked about what works, what doesn't work. So overall for me, the scales tipped just a little bit in the direction of not working. So my score is somewhere between 5 and 6 out of 10, and I'll be generous. And give it a 6 out of 10. Although just for Amy Adams, I'm tempted to bring it down to 5. Really bad choice.
Really bad choice. Okay, so I heard today, apparently there was the New York premiere of the movie, and apparently they announced that Superman 2 is in the making.
Yay!
So I'm going to sum this up by saying it's good they called this film Man of Steel, because there really wasn't anything super about it. Overall, this melts into nothing once you leave the theater and isn't bolstered by a strong foundation. I wish this had been better. I'm with you. 6 out of 10.
Okay, that's slaps for all of you. This wasn't perfect. I mean, I had a lot of anticipation for this movie. I think what I liked about it was this clever rewrite of the Superman myth. I think in terms of how they told this story and how it all fit together, the destruction of Krypton and the Kal-El journey, which I really believe was the central theme of this movie, I thought it was just really well done. I think in a modern context, this is the kind of thing that we accept more readily than the more fantastical, joyful superheroes of years of old. I mean, you know, one of the reasons I'm such a big fan of Dark Knight is that, you know, superheroes, men in tights, don't work for us anymore. We're far too cynical. We would laugh at any attempt to do that kind of joyful retake. So
Kick-Ass works. Kick-Ass works fine.
Kick-Ass is gritty. That's the whole point. And the
Captain
whole
America works.
Right, but they're men in tights.
Come on. Captain America just about works. But and you have to set it in the 1940s for it to work. The Avengers...
Anyway...
Okay,
Finish
sorry, yeah,
saying.
Go on.
Sorry, carry on.
So I'm just a big fan of this take on the superhero genre. I think, you know, I like them depicted in this way. So, you know, movie was too long. I think one of the things that none of us have said so far was that the movie was definitely too long. But overall, if you're a fan of the Nolan-style superhero reboot, you're going to love this. You're going to get goosebumps like I did. You're going to want to see it again. You're probably going to have it as one of your top 10 movies of the year, which I will. And you're going to like all of the kind of choices that they made, because everything was deliberate here. Nothing that you see on screen was anything other than what they had intended it to be. And for me, if you're in tune, if you're on that same wavelength, it's very unobjective, totally biased, ridiculously fanboy 9 out of 10.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, not it a is. 9. Come
it's
on,
a 9.
John.
It's a solid 9. I thought about giving it a 10, but I have some nitpicks, so it's not going to get a 10, but it's a 9. I had so much fun. And I had really? That horrible, I had that giddy feeling all the way through. I had like that, this little boy, you know, I just wanted to like giggle all the way through with glee.
But there's nothing gleeful about it. It's funny
no,
that it made
so
you...
It's so clever. You know, the Krypton story, and you know, the way that he gets... The way that he becomes Superman, the way he discovers who he is, the way that he goes on that journey, that transition, was so relatable to me. And just, I was giddy with glee all the way through.
Okay.
And I still am now, you can tell.
Yeah, okay, I think we need to stop this, otherwise we'll end up in one of those awful time loops where we keep talking about the same thing again yeah. and again.
My kind of stuff, everybody. All right. Mail at movieworldlaws.com to tell me how exactly wrong I am. Or, if you're on my side, send some nasty grams to Rashmi and also Yasti.
Only after you've seen the movie and made up your own mind.
Twitter.com/MovieWallows, Facebook.com/MovieWallows as well. Until our next episode, it's too many movies, too little time, and not enough Superman. And good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.